Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of GeekCast Radio. I am Justin Bissonnette, and I am joined in peril by Evan Zalesko. What is up, Evan?
Not much, as I told you on the phone. I got kicked really hard. We don't talk about our other lives, but wrestling, I got kicked really hard in the arm, and my arm got knocked numb. And I'm just starting to get feeling back in now, and that's the arm I'm driving with, so I can use my good hand to hold up my phone, because, of course, I'm driving. Why wouldn't I be? As I do this. So, you know, hopefully I survive when we make, because I think the next episode's the Big Ten, the double digits.
Yeah.
And so hopefully I make the double digits. Yeah. So
tonight is tentatively called the Attack of the Trailers, but some big news dropping in the last 24 hours that I think we should probably discuss. That being Daredevil already being picked up for season two, and we're not talking about 2017. We're talking about next year, 2016.
Holy fuck, you're right. I was doing a lot of tax shit for 2014. So when you sent me that, I'm like, oh, cool, they got a year to film it. Yeah, it is 2015. Fuck yeah. Dude, I'm not surprised at all. I wouldn't be surprised if once they finished filming it, they're like, you know what? This is going to be really good. Let's just start working on a sequel, and hopefully they pay for it.
And, I mean, the big question in the room, and I'm sure with time this will be answered, what does this mean for the schedule of some of the other projects they have, especially Iron Fist and The Defenders?
Well, I don't know, man. Like, Jessica Jones is kind of a one-shot offer. After that, like, Jessica never really had her own comic series. She just had the AKA series, or the Alias, sorry. They're calling it AKA. She just had Alias. She doesn't have any more, like, one-off stories. So, like, she probably won't get a season two unless, like, they decide to, like, make shit up or put her in, like, another, like, unless they do, spoiler alert, her and Luke Cage as one show, like the power couple.
Yeah, it's got to be heading towards Heroes for Hire at that point. You got to think, unless they're just going to completely do show exclusive content.
I guess. But to me, Defenders is pretty much Heroes for Hire. So
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Did you notice what they taglined? Like, only in a couple things, but you know what they've been calling Daredevil? Similar to Captain, the first Avenger, they've been calling him the first Defender.
Yeah.
I thought
the
that was really
Defender,
cute.
I have noticed that, yeah.
I was like, come on.
You have to wonder, too, like, as far as the pacing of the character, before you were going to have this major Defenders event before the next season, now it looks like this is going to take place before Defenders, so I wonder how much rewriting or change in writing is going on right now.
That is a good question. I don't know. I hope not too much, because technically Daredevil season two is interrupting Luke Cage. In theory, you know what I mean? Unless they're just like, you know what? Fuck it. Side by side, we release Luke Cage, then we release Daredevil, and it's not a rewrite. It continues.
Yeah. That might happen, you know, that may. And, I mean, another interesting aspect of this is, if Jessica Jones or Luke Cage takes off like Daredevil did, or is Netflix going to be demanding a season two of one of those series, you know, and then what does that mean as far as the pacing of the shows?
Yeah. I'll confess, like, I say like way too much. I hope Jessica Jones does good enough that they give it a season two, because I think there needs to be more strong female heroes. Even my apprehensions aside of the casting choices, it's a terrific story, and I hope it happens, and I hope she gets a season two. But, like, out of all the three after Daredevil, Iron Fist probably is best suited to have a second season, with Luke Cage and Jessica Jones kind of being side characters. Cage, then Jessica Jones. Like, those are like the three that would have the most. I mean, I guess they could just go all new stuff, but the best source material would probably go to Iron Fist, to Luke Cage, to Jessica Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd be looking at them basically, you know, writing the character in a way, past one season, I think. Now, transitioning there, speaking of strong female characters, Mockingbird has been a very strong character for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and rumors coming out that a spinoff show focused on her and Lance Hunter may be in the works.
I really, like, if I was like, all right, two of them have to get a fucking show, personally, I wanted Hunter and Fitz, because I really like the Big Brother aspect that they, like, they just gave you a glimpse of it, like, could you come get me, please? And he's like, do you have a hairdryer near you? And he's like, yes. He's like, all right. Like, I was like, oh, I want them to be best friends. Great. But Bobby and Hunter, I'm totally down with. Like, Bobby kicks a lot of ass, and so does he. And I like that, by the time this happens, will S.H.I.E.L.D. and fake S.H.I.E.L.D. be resolved, or real S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever they're called? And if not, like, what happens? Does Hunter join real S.H.I.E.L.D., or does Bobby defect to Coulson S.H.I.E.L.D.? So there's, like, so many possibilities. I'm excited.
Yeah, we definitely have some questions that we need to answer before we get to that point, because right now they're on different teams, so to speak.
Did you watch S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I did. I'm caught up.
I just really liked, like, I promise we won't get into it. Spoiler alert if you're not caught up. I really like, they clean the whole place out, and then you just hear Coulson, no, they didn't. Like, that's my favorite Coulson moment, like the unexpected moment.
Yes.
Like, that's where he shines the best, because he's just this unassuming dude, and that's what's great.
And, I mean, I guess spoiler alert here, too, if you haven't dug deep into it, season two, but the moment where he shoots Whitehall is just completely the most unassuming, like, why would this guy be so fucking crazy? This guy was about to kill him, and I just fucking shot him. What the fuck's the big deal, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I love that moment, too. I think along the same vein.
I agree. And Hyde, the actor who's playing Hyde, he's killing it, man. Like,
yeah,
I feel for him. Like, when he pulled together, like, the shitty-ass League of Evil, I was like, fuck him, fuck these people. But, like, when he saw his daughter and his wife and he got that dinner he wanted, I'm like, holy shit. And, like, when she explained everything he went through to get them back together, I'm like,
yeah,
holy fuck, I want you to be a good guy so bad, because you are so,
yeah,
you have such a great sympathetic arc.
And in a way, the League of Evil being so shitty kind of ties into it, you know?
Yeah.
It's, you'd expect nothing less from him, you know, looking
mm-hmm.
back now, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree.
Let's see. Also, there's a short list for Spider-Man. Do you want to go over any of that stuff, or we'll breeze over that when it actually gets announced?
Well, actually, we'll get to that later.
Okay, that sounds good to me. Let's dive into, this week has been very trailer heavy, with some big stuff coming out. The first one, which I'll bob up there for you, is the one that I actually just watched myself, the Jurassic World trailer, which I apologize on the preview for the show. I call it Jurassic Park. It should be Jurassic World. I apologize. But there you go.
That's all right. Gary and I were just talking about it. Holy shit, do we have diner boners, boy. Do we? Like, it's like, oh, it's the hotness. Man. I was reading people say that, you know, you can't relate, like, the way Chris Pratt relates to dinosaurs is stupid. I'm like, yes, but it's also a movie about, what are they called? Dinosaurs in the fucking living room. So, let's just fucking deal with it. Like, when people are like, oh, it's not real at all, I'm like, shut the fuck up, man. It's not a dude fucking wearing his underwear on the outside fighting bad guys. Shut the fuck up. But, like, I'm all aboard. Just a psycho T-Rex raptor, and then, like, talking to the pterodactyls, telling them to kill things. Like, that was, I want that so much. Like, crazy.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing I can compare it to is my favorite comic book, Next Wave. Spoiler alert if you haven't read it yet, but you should have by now, cocksucker. Devil Dinosaur makes his triumphant return as the main antagonist. And that's what it was like. He's like, fuck humans, I hate them all, I hope I kill them all. And I'm like, that's what this dinosaur is, just take away the English. And he's just like, nah, kill all the humans, fuck it, let's eat them. I was like, yeah. I hope he fights the fucking water dragon dinosaur too.
That might be too much. My mind might explode if that happens.
Oh.
But that seems to be a logical setup though. They are showing quite a bit of it. It felt very much like the first Jurassic Park in a way, you know. Had that good, like, just dinosaurs going fucking crazy vibe. I would say since the first one came out, I would say this one elevated my excitement level. I think that's fair to say. So we'll stick with that trend, and we'll go. No, you know what? Let's change gears a little bit. Let's go the Ant-Man trailer.
I really like the Ant-Man trailer because it's weird, it's quirky, and like it shifts tones, like in like a weird comedy way, and I really enjoy it. Like, I think it'll be Marvel's most adventurous or ant-venturous. Huh?
Oh, look! I see what you did there.
I'll leave. No, I'll see myself out. Movie, because I think it's going to be like a comedy, but also like a espionage, like Ocean's 11 movie. Espionage is the right word. Like a heist movie, a comedy heist,
yeah.
Which I think is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think it's got artistically a chance to be really good. The right word, but fuck it, that's what I'm going to go with.
We didn't speak the English good.
Yeah, like, my own personal taste, I really enjoyed it. The train scene, though, I was kind of like, man, I hope people don't see this and write this movie off. It's too much comedy. You know what I mean?
It's some good action. I get you, Tom Hanks.
I think they're going to give it a chance, though. And I think if they give it a chance, it's got a good shot. I would say I've been pretty pumped for Ant-Man since it was first announced, so I would say my excitement level is even on that one.
I think my excitement's a little more amped up. I think they might have given away too much of the fighting, but I think, I don't think like the fighting will be a main theme, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's more heist than fighting, and so that's what they're kind of saving. So I'm more excited, I guess, than I was.
Yeah, and what's really cool for me is there's obviously kind of like a team dynamic here that they haven't tapped into at all with these trailers. Like, there's characters that are not necessarily from the source material that have been cast that we're walking in blind how all that's going to work out. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
So, all right. So up next, man. Star Wars. This is the second trailer. There's a lot of reaction in the first trailer, and I thought that this trailer shut up a lot of the negative reaction to the first one.
You want to go first?
Yeah. Fuck all you racists that were pissed off about the Black Stormtrooper. Like, that was my main takeaway. On top of that, just it, much like the Jurassic World trailer, it felt like the original movies. It had that really good, just nostalgic feel to it. And even at the very end, like the Chewie, we're home, it was almost like something that your uncle would say. But it was Han and fucking Chewie, so it was amazing. I was blown away. The visuals are amazing. And it just felt, it had the same feel as, you know, being young and watching the original movies.
Yeah, like, it's a mixed bag for me because, like, the trailer itself, like it was weird. So, like, it's kind of like Luke is talking, at least I think it's Luke, is talking about the Force, but they're kind of showing, like, these dark and desperate scenes. And, like, bad things are happening. You see the stormtroopers. So it's not, like, congruent. Like, Luke's talking about, like, happy, you know, not happy, but you know what I mean? Like, positive stuff, like the Force. And you're seeing, like, fucking stormtroopers. And then, like, the music shifts and, like, like the tone changes. But then, like, so does the fucking visuals. Like, so whenever, like, something positive is happening, it kind of, like, there's a negative view. But then you reverse that, and then, like, all the shit goes down, and then it just, Ben Han and Chewie are there, and everything's okay. And
yeah. At
no point did I just roll my eyes and go, ugh, fuck. You know, at least... the first trilogy is one of the three, just because it's easier for me that way, cause I'm not good with the math, is terrible, right? We're not going to get around that. Like, I had a friend who, I didn't mind the first trilogy, and I was like, shut the fuck up, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go and you're going to watch, like, the red letter review of Star Wars Episode 1, where he just fucking destroys those movies, and we're done. And then you're going to realize that you're fucking stupid. And he did, and he was like, you're right, man. This movie is fucking terrible. I'm like, right? I told you, man. I'm not going to lie to you about this shit. But, like, at this point, like, it just feels fun. Like, it feels like there are stakes, but nothing that's, you know, beginning and end of the world. Like, you know, like, they're building again. They're building their new world. So that was awesome to me. Like, I'm fucking... way more excited. Like the fucking chrome fucking stormtrooper. God, he looks awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's they're building a new world, but there's remnants of a world we remember, you know? That was philosophical as fuck right there. So
cool.
All right. So the last one, Superman versus Batman, Dawn of Justice.
Not technically the last one, but it's the last good one. I kind of like. I liked it. Like I'm pumped. I like the voice that they gave Batman while he's in the robot suit. I don't think that's the voice he's going to use all the time as Batman, but I think that like the giant Tony and the scary robot and giant robot suit. I will confess, I worry a bit that they're taking images and scenes from, you know, obviously known Batman Superman stuff. And they might not have a good context for it. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, oh, this is an iconic image. Let's throw it in here because we need something. That worries me a little bit. But the trailer was ball. Like, I like the idea of, you know what it reminded me of? Of a Lex Luthor comic that I have that I read where it's all about Lex. And it's why he fights Superman. It kind of paints Lex as more of a hero in his own mind. But it's like because Superman is the pinnacle, and if people have Superman, they no longer feel the need to like evolve or get better or do new things. Because why? I mean, what's the point? Like, oh, I'm gonna get hurt. Oh no, here comes Superman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You really got that vibe from like the trailer from the voiceovers. So I really dug it. The only thing I was sad was I already know Batman and Superman are in the fucking movie. Because the name of the movie is Batman versus Superman, fucking Rush to the Justice League, right? I was kind of hoping we'd see one of the other characters, like Luther, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, fucking Elastic Man, Animal Man, somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think part of my issue with it is a weird like childhood nostalgia issue. Is that it's weird for me for, like, Superman to be this dark, gritty, like feared alien versus being like Superman, you know, that everyone loved, you know. So and we just finished like the Dark Knight trilogy, which was, you know, very, very dark and very gritty. So like I almost would like a reaction to that, to where it's a little bit more light and, you know, fun, you know. My deep lying issue with it is my deep lying issue with this version of Superman more than anything. Where it's where like my childhood me wants like bright, colorful Christopher Reeve, you know, to you know, save the day. And that's just not quite what this is. So
did you see somebody did a mock-up of the trailer where it's Adam West Batman and Christopher Reeve's Superman?
I did see that, yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. Is it fun?
I've seen that it exists. I have not seen, actually watched it. But, yeah, I will give that a try before next podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was a... I had some negative views on it, but that's my explanation for my negative views. Will I go see it? Hell yeah, I'm going to go see it, you know. You know, fingers crossed. I hated the robotic Batman voice, but you're right. If it's just in that suit to fight Superman, that makes sense to me, you know.
I think it will be. Like, it was too robotic to be normal Batman. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that was my knee-jerk reaction to it.
Yeah. But it makes sense for the suit he's wearing for it to have that fucking thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you've kind of gotten with the Christian Bale voice, you've kind of gotten to the point where there always has to be a Batman voice, you know? There will never be a point where Batman just talks like Batman. They'll always have to be like, you know, we've gotten to that point that doesn't make sense for him to use his normal voice. So
even Kevin Conroy in Batman the Animated Series had two voices for Batman and Bruce Wayne, but like they weren't so goddamn drastic. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and that may be the biggest issue. But yeah. So, are there any other trailers I'm missing you want to cover?
Yeah, there's the one that I'm going to shit on, the Fantastic trailer.
Yeah, we got to do that.
And, like, here's the bad thing. Like, actually, I think the thing looks pretty cool. But the whole trailer, like, think of four words. In your mind, think of four words that describe the Fantastic Four. And then our dark, gritty, sacrifice or any of the other bleak tag words, one of those words.
Yeah.
And like, why is Dr. Doom look like he's wearing his fucking bed sheets? Like, oh my God. Like, I get that they're going to the negative zone and I get you want to be Prometheus, but stop.
Yeah.
Saddest
part of that is that, Mr. Fantastic, with all my issues with the movie, that character is becoming my least favorite part of it. And, like, I don't know what it is, because it's not, like, a complete escape from, like, the source material on Mr. Fantastic. But something about that character annoys me. You know, there's something off that I just don't like. You know?
And then the person playing Sue Storm, I know it's just like a fucking 2-minute trailer, but like they don't have much chemistry together. Like they're both like wooden boards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's I mean I'm in a Swiss roll now, so bear with me. I don't know if that's the acting or the script, but it's like, I didn't feel any chemistry before between Mr. Fantastic and Sue Storm. Like, I should feel all the chemistry here.
There should be, it should be awkward. It should be, like, unspoken. But, yeah, there should be just a palatable chemistry between them, you know?
Yep, because up and bone, and they're going to have a couple of kids.
Yeah. And I wasn't really feeling Johnny Storm either, you know? I didn't feel like loudmouth, annoying Johnny Storm. Like, I should want to punch Johnny Storm in the face, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's where I should be at. And I didn't pick that up at all, you know? I got more
like
a Big Brother vibe.
I'm trying to throw you to Johnny Storm. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So, and another thing, like, for me, Fantastic Four should feel very, like, retro in a weird way, you know? It should feel very, like, space age, like, 70 view of space age. It should feel like going through Epcot Center to me, you know?
Yeah, I get you.
I think that's the best way I can put it, where, you know, almost there's a weird, like, Jetsons feel for me for the Fantastic Four, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's dark. I mean, it can be kind of off the wall and abstract, but I don't think dark and bleak and sacrifice is really... I mean, there's enough out there that those feelings are attached to in the comic book world, but I don't think Fantastic Four needs to be that. And that's probably my same issue with, you know, Superman feeling that way, you know?
No, yeah, I get you. Like, if everybody's brooding, what's the difference? Why not call them the Brooding League?
The Brooding Four?
Yeah.
Or the Brooding Four that survived? Yeah. So, we did have some listener questions, so we want to get to those. We appreciate those. The first one that came up was, what our favorite comic book TV series is. And I'll let you go first because I'd like to look up this gentleman's name.
Right now, I will say Flash. I really like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but Flash just knows what it is, knows what it wants to be, and, like, I've just had a blast this whole time. Where S.H.I.E.L.D., like, the first part of the season one, I'm just like, oh, my God, get to do something. Like, what's going on here? And every now and then it still has a filler episode, like, but Flash, every episode feels like important, even if it's just for a small thing or two. So Flash is honestly my favorite. Unless we're counting Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on Nickelodeon, then that's going to be it. But otherwise, it's Flash, and hopefully the kid who's Flash in that shows up as Flash in the movies, but I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, I think we're hosed on that one. So that question was from Sergio's Revenge, which is a podcast as well, so check that out. I'm going to go with Arrow for similar reasons that I like The Flash. I will say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is probably my favorite show, but overall best, if we're talking about best, I love what Arrow has done as far as building universe. They've debuted characters and done origin stories and then come back and revisit them. And part of that is they've had three seasons to work with, but over those three seasons, I've really enjoyed what they've built and the way that they've made it possible for characters like, well, spoiler alert here, but Ra's al Ghul to show up to Emerald City and then also, or Sterling City, and then also the local villains in Sterling City. So the other question I'll pitch out there, and this one's right up your alley. Someone asked what comics they should read before they get into Spider-Gwen.
I mean, if you know the basics of Spider-Man, nothing, because Spider-Gwen is an offshoot. It's an alternate universe. However, if you're looking for something, I would start with Superior Spider-Man. Read that and then read Prelude to the Spider-Verse, or try and read the Spider-Verse stuff, because that'll kind of explain why Spider-Gwen came into existence. And that's really it, man. And then enjoy. And then find who else you like, and then ask, and we'll try and find the answer for you. But honestly, like, you really don't need anything to jump into Spider-Gwen, because it's its own thing, is my understanding. I'm a little behind in my comics, so... I'll freely admit that, but pretty much, you know, Superior Spider-Man started the ball rolling, and then after that, Spider-Verse.
Yeah, today is pool day. I went ahead and picked up basically the entire Superior Iron Man series, so I'll be reading that if you want to ask me any questions about that. I also grabbed the new Hawkeye, so I'll be reading that. So, well, sounds
the new
good.
Trade is an issue.
No, this is all issues. So
okay.
The trade for Superior Iron Man I think comes out next week with the first five, but I went ahead and bought the first six. And then yeah, we will be back. We'll be back next week, and you know, the way Marvel's going right now, God knows what breaking news we'll have to break down.
Yeah, I mean, shit. We'll probably catch up on S.H.I.E.L.D., Arrows, Flash. Maybe I'll talk video games like Arkham City or Nintendo stuff. I bought the Guardians of the Galaxy Lego set with Star-Lord and the Nova Corps guy. It's fucking adorable, man. Like, it's freaking adorable. Right now, my Star-Lord and my Lego Han are hanging out. Super cool.
Nice. That's the thing that needs to happen.
Right?
They can discuss Indiana Jones tips, possibly. Star Wars Battlefront looks amazing, so maybe we'll dive into that. Well, until next time, thanks for joining us. Big number 10 is next week, so.
Yeah.
All right. Later, guys.